Is there a new person in all this, a new combined you, a group mind linked by wormholes emergent from the network?
You think that would be a monstrosity, don't you?
I don't know what to think about it.
He studied her, trying to grasp Mary within the shell of joinedness. It didn't help that the joined had quickly become renowned as consummate actors, or liars, to be more blunt. Thanks to their detached layers of consciousness, each of them had a mastery over their body language, the muscles of their faces, a power over communication channels that had evolved to transmit information reliably and honestly, that could beat out the most expert thespian. He had no reason to suppose Mary was lying to him today. It was just that he couldn't see how he could tell if she was or not. She said now,
"Why don't you ask me what you really want to know?"
Disturbed, he said,
"Very well.
Mary,
how does it feel?"
She said slowly, "The same, just more. It's like coming fully awake, a feeling of clarity, a full consciousness. You must know. I've never been a scientist, but I've solved puzzles. I play chess, for instance. Science is something like that, isn't it? You figure something out, suddenly see how the game fits together. It's as if the clouds clear just for a moment, and you can see far, much farther than before."
"Yes," he said. "I've had a few moments like that in my life. I've been fortunate." She squeezed his hand.
"But for me, that's how it feels all the time. Isn't that wonderful?"
"Do you understand why people fear you?"
"They do more than fear us,"
she said calmly.
"They hunt us down. They attack us. But they can't damage us. We can see them coming, David."
That chilled him.
"And even if one of us is killed, even if I am killed, then we, the greater being, will go on."
"What does that mean?"
"The information network that defines the joint is large and growing all the time. It's probably indestructible, like an internet of minds."
He frowned, obscurely irritated.
"Have you heard of attachment theory? It describes our need, psychologically, to form close relationships, to reach out to intimates. We need such relationships to conceal the awful truth, which we confront as we grow up, that each of us is alone. The greatest battle of human existence is to come to terms with that fact, and that is why to be joined is so appealing."
"But the chip in your head will not help you," he said brutally. "Not in the end, for you must die alone, just as I must."
She smiled, coldly forgiving, and he felt ashamed.
"But that may not be true," she said. "Perhaps I will be able to live on, survive the death of my body, of Mary's body. But I, my consciousness and memories, will not be resident in one member's body or another, but distributed, shared amongst them all. Wouldn't that be wonderful?"
He whispered,
"And would it be you? Could you truly avoid death that way? Or would this distributed self be a copy?"
She sighed.
"I don't know. And besides, the technology is some way away from realizing that. Until it does, we will still suffer illness, accident, death, and we will always grieve."
"The wiser you are, the more it hurts."
"Yes. The human condition is tragic, David. The greater the joint becomes, the more clearly I can see that, and the more I feel it."
Her face, still young, seemed overlaid by a ghostly mask of much greater age.
"Come with me," he said. "There is something I want to show you."
Kate couldn't help but jump, snatch her hand away. She finessed her involuntary gasp into a cough, extended the motion of her hand to cover her mouth. Then, delicately, she returned her hand to where it had been, resting on the top sheet of her bed. And that gentle touch came again. The fingers, warm, strong, unmistakable despite the smart shroud glove which must cover them. She felt the fingers squirm into her palm, and she tried to stay still, eating the peach.